This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they're fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also is your heart." And this is the gospel of the Lord. I have for years thought, as I have read this Ash Wednesday after Ash Wednesday after Ash Wednesday, that we sort of aren't doing what the Lord suggests, because we put ashes on our foreheads so that we can be seen by others. And you know, Jesus was in a different context, I think, than we are. Because in his day, it was cool to be religious. Is it cool to be religious today? Julia, what do you think? Not so much, right? So really, when we take ashes, we say to the world, "I believe, and I choose to turn towards God. And I want you to see that, not so you'll think I'm a great guy, but so that you'll be aware that there are people around you who have faith, who care about Christ and his message and his gospel, and who try, sometimes better, sometimes worse, to follow him." Don and I had lunch today at Hogan's, and I was so impressed by all the people who came in with their ashes on. I went to the store today. I went to Stop and Shop, the one up in the Nanuet Mall. And there's an elderly lady behind me, and she had her ashes on, and she looked like she didn't have a penny to her name, with her little cart rolling along. And I thought to myself, God bless her. God bless her, because she is making a statement about her faith. And so when we take our ashes, we are making a statement about our faith. But you know, statements are useless if there is no integrity that stands behind them. So if I just smear my ashes on my forehead and go out to lunch with Don and slobber down my vegetable soup and don't think another thought about God, then I've really failed, because my messaging isn't one with my behavior. And so as we take ashes today, I think we need to think about what we're doing, what we're saying, not just for Ash Wednesday, they come along once a year, but for every day in Lent and beyond. We need to be the people that those ashes represent. And what do those ashes represent? Except a humbled and contrite heart. Tom Morris, in his book, If Jesus Ran General Motors, tells a story about giving a lecture. And at the end of the lecture, an elderly Jewish man with a long black coat, you know, you see him all over the place now, around here, he came up to him to talk with him. And the elderly man confided to Morris, he says, you know, in each of my coat pockets, on the right and on the left, I always carry a very special note. He said, in my left pocket, I have a note that says, you are but dust and ashes. You are but dust and ashes. Whether we are big or small, great or insignificant, powerful or powerless, we are but dust and ashes. We stand insignificant before the mighty God who cast planets in their orbits and created universes. We are but dust and ashes. Even the most powerful among us, even the most powerful among us will last probably no more than 90 or 100 years, and then we're gone. Poof, no more. We are but dust and ashes. Think of the great people of history, or the so-called great people of history, or the notorious people of history. They are but dust and ashes. Napoleon. You want to see Napoleon now? I don't even know where he's buried, but I know he's got a pretty nice mausoleum somewhere. But he certainly isn't significant any longer, is he? We are but dust and ashes. And when we take those ashes on our foreheads, we acknowledge before the God who is mighty and good that we are but dust and ashes. We are insignificant before him. Then he said, in the other pocket, I have another note, and it says, for you, the world was made. We live in that paradox because we are but dust and ashes, but for you and for me, the world was made. God could not love anyone more than God loves you. It's a love so astounding, it's impossible to communicate. But for you, the world was made, sort of catches a glimpse of it. And so what do we do when we take our ashes on Ash Wednesday? We turn towards the one who has made the world for us and who has told us, here's the secret. The secret of joy in the world. It's forget about yourself. Think about somebody else. Love your brothers and sisters more than you love your own stinking ego. Do something for other people. Care about your brother. Guys back there, Sebastian, you got that? Care about your sisters. Care about your parents. Do something for them. Forget about the corner office. Forget about the new Porsche. Forget about all the crap that the world tells us we should want. It's worthless. It is all straw. Forget about it. If we turn to God and seek Him first, everything that we need will be provided for us. Every last thing. And we will know a joy beyond expression because we will have forgotten all the empty lies and promises of the world and its politicians and its leaders and its potentates and its what do they call those people on the internet? Influencers. Yeah, thank you for that. You can tell I'm not really up on pop culture, right? Influencers telling us what type of pills we should take and clothing we should wear and shoes we should buy and the things we should want. You know, the most happy people I know want for nothing. They want to make somebody else happy. They want to be kind. They want to pick up their cross and die to that deceptive ego that we're all told we should prize so highly. Forget about that ego. The center of our spirit is our hearts in which the Spirit of God dwells. Let that Spirit do the driving. That's what Lent is all about. It's about turning to God and realizing that although we are but dust and ashes, for each one of us, the world was made, and it was given to us so that with it we could bless others. Amen.